do agree that Mr. Cunningham did not sustain any serious bodily injury. However, as I stated earlier, the threat and the potential to his life and good and doubt the law and everything.
Victim named in the indictment, Mr. Cunningham, womanizer, protect the rights of multiple clients, and that is provocation. In response to that, was a petition to, for a protective order. It was not a threat of bodily injury, and it wasn't a threat to take away his livelihood, it wasn't a threat to take away his right to bear arms. It was a request of the government, the authorities who have the power to decide whether or not those remedies are appropriate. It was a request of those authorities to do their job and ask and to determine whether or not those remedies were appropriate. And we never threatened to take away any of Mr. Cunningham's rights. He did what he asked people to have the right to do that when appropriate under the law to consider whether or not it was appropriate under the circumstances. So I believe we've shown through the victim's own testimony that the second negative factor of the defendant acting on provocation has been proven. Substantial grounds exist tending to excuse or justify the defendant's conduct. Not only the argument that I just made supports this mitigating factor. Excuse or justify the defendant's conduct. His conduct was to try to follow the law. Now, he might have run afoul of the law in doing so, but his intent, as he testified, was to follow the law. He has no obligation whatsoever to go and talk to an attorney about how to do that before he attempts to follow the law. His intent all along was to follow the law. Also, he never acted for his own benefit. This is a man who has served his country. Now, you may not personally like him, you may not like the way he goes about it, and he might even violate the law in doing what he did. However, his intent and his motive was not only to follow the law, but was to follow his constitutional obligation and his obligation under his oath to God to defend the Constitution. He believed that Constitution was under attack. Whether right or wrong, that was his belief and that was his motive. He did not ask for money. He did not ask for benefit. He had nothing before this court. When he was doing these things, he was doing these things to benefit the communities he lived in. I believe that that constitutes excuse for the justification of the defendant's conduct. Next factor, the defendant assisted the authorities in uncovering offenses committed by other persons who had committed criminal offenses. You've heard the ADA say, you don't know what offenses he's uncovered. Well, the offense that he's uncovered is according to the testimony of the named victim in the indictment. That named victim testifies facts that support, under the statutes of the Criminal Code of the State of Tennessee, official misconduct, official oppression, both felonies, and criminal influence of a jury, and arguably even extortion himself. Now, Your Honor, we're not saying that this man could be convicted of those crimes or that those charges should be brought. However, the fact is that because he denied Commander Fitzpatrick's right under the statute by denying the procedures that were required of him, whether intentionally or not, this party, these facts that he has admitted to under oath during the trial testimony, these fulfill the elements of these crimes. This goes to the provocation element and also goes to the element of these are uncovered crimes. Whether the state decides to do anything about them, they're crimes that the state is not aware of until the defendant has them. I've already covered the fifth element, which is at no time did the defendant have an intent to violate the law. There's been no evidence presented to the contrary, and certainly the verdict stands for itself. But his intent was never to violate the law. His intent was actually to have law enforcement. All of the previous convictions in Monroe County were misdemeanors. There was a misstatement by the ADA that the defendant did not take part in any community service due to his first Monroe County conviction. That's actually not true. He did. That is the state burden to produce evidence of that asserted, and there was no evidence to support the fact that he did not, at least I'm not aware of evidence to support the fact that the defendant did not participate in the community service order. Necessary to have the defendant take the stand and testify as he did. The defendant, as I said, has served this country. He's never been a threat of physical violence to anyone in the community. At worst, he's been an annoyance to government officials. The government officials in the state have the absolute unfettered ability to change procedures if necessary in order to deal with situations like this. The citizens of this state have very little control over how the government handles these situations, but citizens ought to be able to petition their government for redress of grievances. The defendant has always, without exception, showed up every single time any court has ordered him to show up. With the exception of the verdict in this particular case, he has complied with all of the orders and understand in the verdict in this case, his intent at that point was not to violate the law. We still contend that he hasn't violated the law. And so the fact that he is somehow incorrigible and not, the ADA argues that he is intentionally violating the law repeatedly, ignoring orders of the court is contradicted by the fact that he's here today. He's been on release. He's shown up every time he's been required to show up, and he will continue to show up every time he's been required to show up. Defense has its motion to arrest judgment, and we also have a motion for suspended judgment pending appeal. Should this court decide that confinement is necessary in this particular case, we ask that the court suspend that sentence pending appeal. One of the factors this court should consider in determining whether or not a suspended sentence is justifiable pending appeal is the fact that the defendant has always shown up, is not a fighter, he's got ties in the community. We've heard about his friend that trusts him with her children. The other factor that should be considered is the strength of the appeal. And part of the strength of the appeal is the grounds for the motion for arrest of judgment. Your Honor would like me to discuss the grounds for the motion for arrest of judgment at this point in time. The grounds for arrest of judgment are that this court lacks jurisdiction over this case, Your Honor. And that's because the indictment is void. Now, Your Honor well knows that juries are not to consider facts that are obtained outside of the official proceeding that they are participating in. In this case, and that if those jurors do consider those facts or are influenced by people like parties in the case, then in fact the jury member is disqualified and the jury might be the grounds that I'm discussing here, Your Honor, go to the factors that the court should consider considering the motion to suspend sentence and appeal. I'm almost done. Referring the court to the transcript, I'm not going to be honest. Referring the court to the transcript, page 112. And he said that one of those jurors, in fact, asked him after that if she should be afraid of Mr. Fitzpatrick. This court also heard during motion testimony from two of those grand jurors who, in fact, stated that they were frightened of Mr. Fitzpatrick and felt threatened by him. Now, these are all things that happened outside of the official proceeding on the indictment in March. These were the same people, and seemed pretty clear, Your Honor, that the jury, the grand jury, at least two of those members were disqualified from voting, and therefore the indictment for March was void. This is the one of the arguments we're going to make for arrest and judgment. In this capacity right here, these are just one of the grounds that we're going to be raising on appeal. I believe they have a very strong chance of appeal, and because of that, I would ask the court to suspend, if the court determines that confinement is necessary in this case, ask the court to suspend that sentence and appeal.
Your Honor, the defendant stands convicted of aggravated burglary and exposure. He had a month and a half to contemplate that, bring it before the court. And I'm somewhat appalled that we have not heard one iota of accepting responsibility. We've not heard one iota of apology to Jeff Cunningham after he's heard the truth and the testament that would have happened to Jeff Cunningham in regard to his right to bear arms, his right to have a job, his extortion to be off the grand jury. Not one iota of apology that would have happened to him, not taking any kind of responsibility. I think that's one thing the court would take in mind whenever you determine the sentence. So I think the court, when you hear a defendant comes up here and says, "Your Honor, I accept the responsibility," that makes you feel like perhaps he would do something on probation. But then you have a defendant who has the record he has, who stands before this court, himself and two attorneys, who still continue to berate and go after the victim in this case. It's kind of appalling to hear that. Your Honor, the defense lawyer, I think, has taken some liberties in reciting the facts. I know Your Honor heard the case, but just so the record is clear, Mr. Fitzpatrick brought numerous petitions to the grand jury. The grand jury reviewed those petitions. The grand jury responded to those petitions. For him to sit up here and condemn the court, he was not allowed to do that, is a perversion of the facts in this case. I just wanted to make that real clear for the record. There's nothing to excuse the conduct of this defendant against Mr. Cunningham. Cunningham is an individual trying to be a good citizen, trying to do the duty he's called to do. I am disturbed whenever someone wants to stand up here and proclaim the Constitution as his defendant. And he has had numerous grand juries hear his petition. He's had fed juries in Monroe County that have determined his guilt. He's had a fed jury of citizens of this county. So we the people speak right here. Call the FDA's way, you're going to try to do something against the government. We the people. Now, that is appalling. That is a shame on the U.S. military, the Constitution of the state, the Constitution of the United States, the things that we stand for. This court needs to make a statement putting him in prison.
Thank you.
I've got a right to respond to. But in this case,